On this week's show, live from AGC National in Columbus, Ohio, with Alex Belkoffer and Benjamin Crosby. All right. Yo, this is a throwback episode. Y'all are going to have to check out the video because he is truly here in person. My man, my brother from another mother, Rob McKinney. Rob, how you doing, man?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you for the opportunity to resurface and share some good stories with some good men.
Yeah, it is a excellent time. If y'all are checking this out, we are above the showroom floor. So the AGC rolled out the red carpet for the content crew to go live, and they gave me two phenomenal guests to have with us. Alex, my man, right next to me, all in the McCarthy red, loving it. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to be back in the bus. Go Bucks.
Yeah, right. You're wearing red. Is it McCarthy red? Is it Ohio State red? What red is it?
Well, it's scarlet, just to be clear. It's both.
It's a little bit of both. All right. And Benjamin Crosby, we just got off the stage together. Thank you from Yates Construction. It is awesome to sit down with you again, man.
Exciting to be here. I've been able to do a couple of these before and love every chance of it, especially to be here live at the conference. Yeah, the showroom's behind us, everything going on. It's super fun to be here.
It is. It is awesome. You guys know, before we dive into this interview and talk about all this crazy stuff, you need to follow us on YouTube. That's youtube.com/@thecontentcrew. That's where we're putting out the shorts. Check us out on the socials. You gotta follow us to see what's going on.
Are you trying to reach the innovators and decision makers in construction technology? Then look no further than sponsoring the Contech Crew. That's right, we're taking new advertisers. Email us at advertising@thecontechcrew.com to learn more.
All right, so above the showroom floor at AGC National in Columbus, Ohio, a little chillier than I wanted, but I can use a little bit of that chill right now. You know, it's like nice to fly around. So, I want to start with you, Benjamin. We just got off the stage. We had a really good time. Like, what's some of the things that you're seeing here at National that you want to talk about?
One of the big things coming to National is getting to see all the people, right? It's a chance to connect with you all here and all the people we see all the time. Chance to hit the education sessions. Like you said, we just got off the floor talking about what every construction company needs to know about IT with some really knowledgeable folks there with us. And really that chance to then talk to the people. And I love the follow-up questions, right? After we did the session, then there was four or five people there for talk to each one of us and try to ask these other questions where it gets personal about them, their company, and what they can do to grow it. And I love those interactions as much as anything about the AGC conventions.
Yeah, they do. They do this great mix of sessions on technology, sessions on business, sessions on leadership, sessions on succession planning, like a little bit of everything for the leadership groups that are here. So Alex, I'm wondering, what were some of the things you gleaned from being here?
Well, what's cool about this convention is that in the past, I've only attended this as a speaker, but now I'm an exhibitor for this one. And we were blessed with the opportunity from AGC National. McCarthy got one of the few technology and innovation lab booth spaces. So what I love and what I do every day, now I get to kind of put it into action at National. And that really is something that I've never had the chance to do. So being able to be on the floor, bring people into our space, talk about construction technology and innovation and how we're trying to approach the connected job site concept, which we can get into maybe in a little bit here, is really what kind of fuels my fire. Being able to bring people into our space and have that conversation and show them the cool stuff that we're doing at a national level, this is where it's at. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool to see you. You got Dusty Robotics there. You've got a robot rolling around. What else you guys got going on at the Innovation Lab?
Yeah, well, there's that. And then also showing how those technologies are being able to send information to people both up and downstream of the construction process. We're doing things like virtual reality, augmented reality, but also really informational connections between advanced reality capture. So between 360 photography and AI and scanning, we're showing how those dots are being connected both with robots and with visual devices and how those things start to create this idea of the connector.
I love the idea of the connector job site. And it's really cool because we've got Benjamin with us. And like we said, we were just on stage. But one of the things that's really cool about what Benjamin has done in his career is he went from that BIM and VDC and sort of what I would call the innovation role. And he unfortunately did it too well. And they forced you to put your money where your mouth is. So explain a little bit about what you've been up to since that portion of your career.
Yeah, after 10 years of a corporate role, innovation champion, go find tech, implement it, make it work. I promoted that cool as a terrible business plan pretty hard that whole time, and they called me on it. And so the past 2.5 years, I've been out running a project. It's a mega project. It's in the billions sort of project. But then taking all the different tech and knowing what should be happening and then taking that to the level of what is actually happening, right? Who has actually got the robot out there laying out their floor plan like they should? Of course, it's metal stud and drywall, right? That's the best application for it. And so they actually use it to run with. And just all the other techs too. And really the practical side of those and how much we're actually using our drone photography and stuff like that to plan, organize, and make things physically happen beyond the technology.
Yeah, it's all about the physical stuff, right, Rob?
Well, that's one thing I want to point out. I think on the technology steering committee, Benjamin, this week, you've got to be the MVP because you have spoken a couple of times. You're leading the meeting, but you and I yesterday talked on the mental side of this thing that our industry just now, let's be honest, in the last few years has been able to talk about. We shared our thoughts on how apps can help with that stress management of a mega site like you're on, because let's just say it hasn't probably been perfect like any construction project has, but we shared your story, my story, and we're trying to help people keep their minds focused. But it was still through technology by sharing apps to help stay focused.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting change because like we've gotten this, you know, we've gone through this evolution when it comes to the technology, right? In the beginning of it, let's be honest, like it gave us too much, right? It almost deterred us from building, right? Like it was a detractor. And we've gone through an evolution now where I look across this floor and I think about the different products and companies I'm seeing here that are really integrating and driving that adoption. And that, you know, now you went out, I think you stayed in the office for that first few years. So we'll let this wave go through. So then when the true wave hit, then you ride it, right? You know, you're sitting there in the surf, you're looking for the right wave, you saw it coming and you hit it.
Yeah.
No, but I joke with you. It's honestly like it's that time right now. I think for anybody listening in, like that's the takeaway for me is not only are the apps there to drive us, but they're also there to take care of us. Right. We can now implement them and use them to take a break. We can use them to understand, you know, the utilization of our employees. Right. Like safety is about knowing. And there's so much to that right now. I'm wondering what other nuggets, because I got my Rob back. What other nuggets have you found out there today?
We would talk about a nugget in general, just the whole shift. Let's be honest. We've all been coming here for quite a while. That floor right now, 5 years ago, did not look the same. 10 years ago, let's really think back, what used to be on that trade floor? It was a lot more hard products. There's still tools out there. I mean, I'm looking at the wall. We got Milwaukee, but there would have been a lot more things out there. There's not a mixing truck out there. There's not mortar. There's not a lot of the things that you would have seen. I don't know the ratio this year, but on a software level, Jeff, that floor's got to be 60%-ish software. And it's across the rainbow of the spectrum. It's not just safety. It's not just accounting. It's not just BIM. Pretty much any workflow that you want to look at, I think you could go find on that floor at this conference.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can. I'm interested in your take on it, Alex.
Well, we've talked a lot about like culture and strategy, and the term that you always use or the phrase you've coined is right, culture and strategy for breakfast. We're trying to promote this idea of accepting a digital culture in construction, and that's easier said than done. For years, I've talked about creating the next generation of the integrated virtual builder. That's something that we've been promoting and pushing. To me, though, when you teach more people how to use technology in their role with what they do, that then breeds that culture, that digital culture, the acceptance that technology is going to help me do my job and be more successful and give me a better quality of life as a person delivering construction services.
Yeah, and that nails it on the transformation and that change, that evolution. And it's not an offense to any of the technology vendors that were out there, were there before, right? Like, technology changes and you've got to make an entrance. And how do you make an entrance? You find a problem and you solve it. And then you realize, well, I've solved a problem, but I've also created a new one. I have a data silo, or I have, you know, interoperability issues, or, you know, I needed to do this. And so they've evolved to take a role, and groups like Yates and McCarthy have taken the ability to look at their people, their process, and then really applied that technology in a way that integrates and drives it forward. So that's what we're seeing out here. That's why I think they're here, Rob, is, you know, Milwaukee's here, but they're showing off a lot of technology over there inside of their tools, right? They're connected tools. Just about everything out here, even when it's not, it is still technology, right?
Well, now you hear the term, the smart tool. Why is it smart? Because it actually has mini computers inside the thing running it. We've been asking for years of, like, so that little computer there, let me ask you a question. Can you tell me how many trigger pulls? Can you tell me, now this is what I'm still waiting on, can you put a recorder in there? Because I want to see right before that accident occurred, what was that employee doing before finger hit switch?
Yeah.
All the safety geeks in the room want to know that. I think they're close, just not quite there yet. But we've been asking for years of these smart tools. What can they really do?
Yeah, I mean, they're the closest to the action, right?
It's
like, if you want to do percent complete, if you want to know the progression of your job site, if you want to know leading indicators towards schedule, how many tools are working? Who's putting work in? That's going to tell you it. So I really think critically that data is going to be key. But that brings up this other conversation that's critically happening, is data, data, data. So I'm really interested, you know, I'd say, Alex, on your take on, you know, the state of data and your thoughts around its necessity.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, innovation is something right now that it's really pushing us to think differently, think more collaboratively, and think more holistically. I think what is really critical in this industry right now is that we've got to start harnessing better data insights to be better builders. And the data insights that we are looking for, we may not know where it's coming from. So we've got to get smarter about finding our own data, if that makes sense. We use amazing tools. We have amazing softwares. We've got amazing people. But all of that is generating some level of information or data, or we're not collecting it, or at least we're not collecting it effectively. But if we could, what more would we learn about our business to become better builders? I think that's the data is the new oil concept, is like, what data do you even know that you're not collecting that can make you better? So we've got to get smarter about approaching that, and I believe that we are. But all these amazing technology partners, I hate calling them vendors, and you know that, technology partners that are out here, we've got to get smarter about what's out there and find the ways that we can tap into that. So that's why I think coming to these events in person is so important, is that we've got to be able to bring this then back to our leadership to say, hey, there are solutions out there. We just weren't aware of them. Let's go tap into some of that.
Yeah, the data's a tool, just like construction, any other tool. And if people aren't using it, we don't know if they're using it well. We don't know how to use it. We don't know the best way to use it. So, you know, mega project for me, it's a tri-venture, got three companies coming together, all this couple of there's data everywhere. Each of our companies are storing data. But as we start to use it through the project, then we start to see, hey, this is ready to go. We need to refine this before we can use it. We need to change this practice a little bit here. We need to switch this out. But it all comes back down to being active in using what we have so that we can improve upon it.
I mean, that's the key in the feedback loop, right, Rob?
Absolutely. This national trend is amazing to see. But Alex, I'm curious to talk to you. You're getting close to a local event coming up where we take what you're seeing here at a little bit smaller scale. How does an event like this come into a smaller market and make an impact for what you're getting ready to do in May? How do you take this to St. Louis?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Well, you guys know I'm a big believer in trying to, you know, take the tide to raise all the boats. You know, a couple of years back, at least in the St. Louis and the Midwest market, we had seen a lot of local organizational committees turning into local conferences, and we felt like there was more to tap into there. We were scratching the surface of something bigger, and the idea was creating more of a sense of a connected community. So rather than trying to see a lot of these local chapters and conversations turning into just local conferences, we had the idea to stitch together something we were doing in St. Louis through the AGC of Missouri, We used to call it the DTC. So it's DCTC at the DCTC, Design Technology Conference. And we decided that let's do something bigger and better, but do it together. And so we had the idea of partnering with other organizations that were like-minded, that had some common goals around the advancements of technology to move the AECO industry forward. And we said, let's do something bigger together. And so 2 years ago, the DCTC evolved, and we turned into what now is called the AEC TechCon. And the AEC TechCon is now our annual event that is connecting the gap between design, construction, engineering, and owners. And so that whole AECO spectrum now, in partnership with AIA, with DBIA, with SMACNA, with NECA, we're bringing all those folks together. And under one roof, we're having this two-day event to really show that the Midwest is a really prominent place with a lot of amazing things happening in the technology space. But it's not just one organization doing it. It takes all of us. And so that event, which is coming up May 7th and 8th, if you don't mind, I'll throw this out there, of 2025, just 1 month away, in St. Louis. We're bringing those groups together for round two, with second annual AEC TechCon. And I do believe that events like that, in connection with more of this national effort with AGC, is going to finally start to get us to the place we want to get to.
Yeah, I agree with you, because it's that think global, act local, right? We're here at the global. We're here at the big meeting with all of the different partners, with all the different organizations, with that saying that those trade partners are here as well, like that whole group. And I like that idea, but then you got to take it into a market to get some real action out of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at that your event, and I've been to it in its past ones, I haven't gotten to be there for what it is now. I'm hoping not this year, sorry guys, but next year I will be able to be there and participate. But I think that's where sort of the rubber hits the road, because every region, and you know this especially, Benjamin, every region's different.
Yeah.
Every region has its nuances, its ways of doing things. And so you've got to be able to do that. And, you know, on that note, since we're going to do a little plugging, I do want y'all to get out there again, and we'll make sure the website's posted when we do this so you can sign up. Because I also think that, you know, it might seem regional, but if you're from another region and you want to understand the type of work that's going on and the type of work that's coming your way, this is an opportunity to fly in, get to meet with some of the real innovators, hear from some of the real people that are rubber hitting the road and go. So definitely sign up. But see, on our side here, we're acting global, thinking local. So Benjamin, talk a little bit about why we were on stage today and connecting this to the AGC TechCon.
Yeah, our AGC IT Forum then works on the conference every year. And what we're trying to do is serve all of AGC. There's lots of big contractors, there's lots of small contractors, and be able to talk to them about the IT strategies, the technology that's coming. Like you said, the difference between IT and operational technology, and just give them insight in how to move forward with that. Because like you were saying, we got to get everybody doing better.
Yeah. This summer, August 5th to 7th, we'll be in Chicago. A little hint, this might be the last time we're in Chicago for a little while. But, you know, we love Chicago. And, you know, it was formerly the AGC IT Conference, the IT Forum, but it is now the AGC Technology Conference, because as a committee and an organization, we've realized that that operational technology, which is what many of you who listen to the show know as construction technology, is really how you advance the field, advance the actual, you know, particular things in construction. It's your operational technology, which is what they call it in a lot of the other industries. And then there's IT, right? We cannot forget about, say, the plumbing, you know, the things that make the systems connect, the things that make your phones and your laptops and your tablets connect back to the infrastructure, that keep you secure, that keep you safe. We have to look at both of those, and both of those aisles need to be together so they can understand, right? I don't want my operational technologist necessarily in and building my Active Directory and my connectivity and my fiber backbones, right? Nor do I want that IT person necessarily over there figuring out what, you know, BIM software I need to use and what, you know, this I need to use for point solutions or reality capture 360, right? I want them to understand it. And in many companies, that's a blend, we'll be honest. But ultimately, they are two separate disciplines. So we get to bring them together this summer and talk about it. So join us August 5th through 7th because it's going to be really, really, really fun and informative. So send your IT people, send your operational technology people. Rob?
Jeff, that speaks to the evolution of what we've been doing for almost 10 years. We went from, let's be honest, in this industry, very little technology. I walked into this industry in 2001 where the office had computers. We had our server, you know, the sacred, precious server with the backup tape and the backup tape to the backup tape. And God forbid someone forgot the backup tape one day in 2001 and the power went out. The whole company's down to where we're at now. That's a big progression in 20 years. Honestly, probably 10. That we think about cloud.
It's been, I mean, I've been in the industry now for quite a while. And it's, you know, it's about the last 8 years that we've seen it really start to accelerate. And I think we're hitting this tipping point of acceleration. AGC came together with Nate Fuller from Placer Solutions. And I had the opportunity this year to moderate the AI Excellence in Construction in coordination with AGC. And some fascinating ideas came out of that. You know, you're talking about this raw material and gathering it, and so are you. And, you know, in our talk, we talked about BIM and reality capture and how, you know, a drywaller in your world was using, I think, Open Space to do some 360 capture around really qualifying that they had done the work they did, right, to prove it. And it came in handy for you. And so we're seeing these pockets of data. You know, we've got, you know, Document Crunch out there looking at contracts and compliance and looking for tariff issues and those kinds of things. But ultimately, what we're doing is we're coalescing what it takes digitally to build in construction. And imagine as we feed that into models of the future, imagine what we're going to be able to do. When we take that raw data, we put it in context, and then we put it to work for us.
Right.
I mean, Yep. They're just looking out there. You know, you've got the Procores of the world, the Autodesks of the world sitting out here that are collecting that data. Right. But how are we operationalizing?
I want to lean in on that. To me, that is the evolution of the digital builder. I do believe that we're going to have digital builder assistants that are really going to be able to help us and expand our ability to deliver construction more efficiently, more effectively in shorter timeframes. But it's not replacing anybody. It's giving them that assistance. It's giving them that extra layer of information to say, hey, we've built 19 hospitals that are basically the same as this one. And here are your durations and what you should expect. And I'm going to show you all the red flags in your process that you didn't do because we've done 19 of these. And now this is number 20 and this one's no different. I really do believe we're going to become smarter builders with better access to our own information at the right
time. All right. So see, this is where I'm going to take you one bit further. So you've got all that constructability. You've got all those RFIs. You've got all those submittals. You've got all those PCOs and change orders that happened out there, right? They came from a source. What if we can feed that back into the generative engines that drive early design and inform us, you know, who better to inform the model of the future than the builder of the present that's going through it today? I mean, can you imagine that if your design software is you're going and doing detailing or doing what you do, Benjamin, that you're learning from your past constructability consistently?
Well, being out in the field right now, I can tell you that would have saved millions of dollars on my current project. Because you start trying to find out, well, hey, what did you do on this past project? And you're making phone calls and you're talking to these people. And that's a wealth of information that's great to have. But if we start to feed the actual information into accessible databases, someplace where we can get it, something that feeds into generative design that says, yeah, you think you need this much power, but you really need this much power. Those sort of things are, I'm just so excited to see. Like you're saying, this group of out here, what's happening is for years, all of us were out there, I started making waves. Like, you've got to be doing more. You've got to be doing more. Well, now it's the point where I'm getting on my project and the technology that I was trying to push on people before is showing up and happening without me going out there and setting up a trial of a robot on site. Now there's a robot doing what it's supposed to be doing on site. Work for me.
Yeah, this is what's great is you went from push planning to pull planning.
Yes.
They're pulling and asking, and that was that precipice we needed to be on to get this to move forward. And I want to double down on what you're talking about. We have a massive shortage of people in this industry, right? And we have an absolute existential issue of that knowledge leaving the field. But if we do what you're talking about, we can codify, we can bring into the DNA of the technology, the experience, and we can make superhuman builders of the future, right? They will be not only empowered with that past knowledge, their own ability to take time and train, right? Because that's the one thing is, if I'm answering the phone, if I'm picking up and calling and chasing things down, I could be learning instead. I could be going like, oh, Alex did that already on the 17th project that was, by the way, in an almost similar geography. Hey, Alex, what were some of the things you learned on this? And you'd be like, hey, listen, it's great if I tell you, but hey, why don't I send you over the digital data twin for you to learn from? You can see how we sequenced it. You can see the issues that we ran into. And all of a sudden, you're not getting dumber, you're getting smarter and faster. Like, I really believe, looking around this room, we're there.
We're close. We need someone to take that next step and build this knowledge locker we've been looking for decades. Where is this one magical tool that you can ask a question and tap into your brain, my brain, and find that at your fingertips of how did you install the RTU? How did we waterproof that wall and put that glazing in? If everyone has a digital knowledge locker that you're feeding to a common source, that's what we need somebody to create.
Well, that's the enterprise data model for construction that we really don't have. And I'm interested as to whether we'll ever get there. And it's a philosophical problem right now because who owns that and how do they own it? Now, some of the things we're seeing, and I know this out of Procore recently because, you know, you can opt in and they're anonymizing the data out. You'll never be able to dive in and figure out any one thing on any one project. And I think Autodesk is doing some similar things, and we're hearing that Nemetschek is doing some similar things. My thing is, we have to realize that the Microsoft, Apple, and Google model works in construction, right? Microsoft, Apple, and Google, I don't care. I mean, we're probably all iPhones. I'm an iPhone over there. Maybe you're a Samsung, but you're running Android. But Office works on it. Outlook works on it. My Apple, I use Outlook on it. I use Word on it, right? What they realized was, you know, I'm using a laptop right here, but I can pull up, you know, and use a Mac and use Outlook. What they figured out was a rising tide does lift all ships. These groups have to work and interoperably change their data and transfer that data so we can build that digital locker. And it's not locked away in one area. It can't be. There's never going to be one ring to rule them all. I've been saying this for years, and I'm going to keep saying it. Nobody gets to win. The object is to continue to play the game and to move the industry forward.
Yeah, I'll throw one thing in there. You mentioned the word codifying, and I think that that's a huge thing that maybe some people aren't thinking about. But I do believe that the future of the construction industry, to have this digital locker, to have this connected knowledge base, it's going to require us to get our arms around our data in a meaningful way. And I do think that the codification of our data, the way to either tag it or to filter it or to standardize it and structure it in some meaningful way, is going to be something that our organizations and our companies have to put focus on. Otherwise, we're not going to get smarter. If we keep collecting information the same way with files and spreadsheets and folder structures, like, it's just not going to change. We're going to become smarter because with the advent of AI and all the disruption that it is causing, it's going to force us to have to get smart.
Yeah, I think you're right. We're on the precipice of a lot of this happening. And you're seeing a lot of it out here, right? We're seeing all of these new solutions out here that are going to provide us valuable information and insights into the things that we're doing. I'm wondering, before we, you know, wrap this up, let's talk about a few of our friends. What are some of the highlights of the things you're seeing out here on the floor since they've, you know, leaned in?
So, well, one of them that I stopped by the booth earlier, Trimble's here. We use a lot of Trimble, especially the project side of things. And part of that is they were really willing to work with us on this data exchange. So having projects where some people are using Procore, some people are using New Forma, you've got all of this different data management stuff, and they're starting to exchange that data. Yes. And so on my project I'm on now, I actively have 3 data exchanges going, getting people talking to each other at Procore project site, Procore to New Forma, and get all of that moving between all of those. So I'm starting to get to that. All of the information is the same place, same information. It's still in 3 places, but it's the same information, and I have 3 separate owners. That is a huge step for us in the industry. And so just touching base with Trimble out here on that, Procore's here too. They're working on it.
I should have said that. I'm going to throw Trimble in that bucket as well of playing interoperable, you know, being a part of that. However, I will say they are some of the first. They went and acquired Rivet and is now part of the Trimble Connect environment. And so they are pushing, and that's what we need, right? If they take the lead and win a little bit and everybody else has got to chase them, competition is great for everybody that way.
Right.
Rob, I'm wondering what you're seeing out there right now.
I got to throw in a shameless plug. Who brought me to the dance now is I work for an amazing company called Sateless that most people listening to the show, I will bet you probably haven't heard of because it's the greatest secret coming out of Canada. I met a founder named Gabe Guetta who was, he was in construction. He was hanging glass in Vancouver. Who starts a tech company, doesn't own a laptop? That guy. He has this vision.
Yeah, you want to learn about it, go back and check it out because Gabe is awesome and they're here sitting on the floor right now and brought you here, which, you know, I got to give him a plug for that then because I just got my brother here to sit down and have another podcast with thanks to Sailus. And it is one of the greatest safety. I've stolen some ideas from him on, you know, one of the biggest problems with safety in our industry is that we get complacent. And we don't get complacent because we don't care. We get complacent because we're human and we have to process so much danger, so many things that our bodies have to do that, right? So that we can get through a day. If you were worried about everything that could kill you when you leave your house every day, you'd never leave your house, right? That's our brains are wired that way. But on a safety and on a construction job site, we have to have those interrupts. And that's one of the things that I think is really cool about Sailus is they've introduced that interrupt for us. We already talked, you know, my big one out there. We got Document Crunch out there. I'm going to call out Ignite right now because we haven't really talked about it on the show. We don't talk enough about it, but CMMC compliance, your security and your cybersecurity posture is going to become one of the limiting factors to being able to deliver and be selected on projects in the future. Let's just be honest about this. Like, we have the Target experience. We have all these other ones that nobody wants to talk about because, well, it's really not fun to talk about, but they're out there. So, you know, them being, you know, this incredible document storage and document management platform, but also really focusing on CMMC and compliance is really key. So I had to call them out. I'm wondering who else have we seen out here?
Well, I just give a quick shout out to some of our booth partners. So we mentioned Vestas Robotics, but we didn't mention on-site robotics. They're doing some amazing things with robotics and AI and camera capture. We got our partners at Revisto, which of course have been pushing the industry for quite a while now. And you guys know that I think that technology is something that's really lifting and shifting the digital collaboration for our industry. We also got Hilti. I'm actually really impressed at what Hilti is doing. They're really starting to take technology into their different business lines and really start to connect that dot. I think that it's folks like Hilti, and I know that DeWalt and some others, like these tool-based companies traditionally, are integrating these technologies and these service capabilities and starting to like really bring that full circle. It's impressive to see they're doing more than just hardware tech.
Yeah, I love to see they're doing hardware tech. And on the front of like connections and connectivity, we've got QuickBase that I can see from right here, which is that low-code, no-code platform. And I really think that is one of these like enabling technologies that's gonna fill gaps and build custom workflows while maintaining data integrity. You know, it's all plain and good when you pull up your Excel or Smartsheet and you do things there and it's accessible, but you really want to keep that data fidelity. And a lot of the opportunity, like we're talking about, is, you know, you're creating data in Procore, creating data in Autodesk, you're creating data in Trimble, you're creating data in, you know, look around, foundations, an ERP system out there. Well, but how are you making sure that as, you know, a trade contractor that you're filling out the right form and it's going to your system and their system and then it's reportable? these low-code, no-codes allow that capability in a way that we didn't have before.
I'll give you one more that I've kept my eye on for a long time that I find fascinating. Technology born out of the industry. So I caught up with Russ and Bob from Tenna.
Yep.
Tenna is one of those companies that I find so fascinating. The idea came out of the industry.
Oh, yeah.
They were funded, but not that traditional route. And to see the growth and just the way that industry is taking to that type of technology, because traditionally someone sitting on a piece of equipment, why do you care how much gas this thing burns? Why do you care about the hours and how easy, let's be honest, 10 years ago was it to get burn rates on equipment? Usage logs. Watching that growth of that company, that's fascinating of homegrown.
Yeah, and they're one of those, like, they're really cool, but they don't fit the, like, flashy. Like, who talks fleet management? Nobody. But how many of you use and have and spend a lot of money on fleet? Right? I mean, they're born out of heavy highway and they're born out of civil, which, again, that equipment is woohoo massive. But it applies to the small tools and the small things that we're using. Like, when do I ditch the truck that I have had in the shop, like, every 3 months to get this fixed and that part replaced? Like, there's math around this that's providing us.
Wait, Jeff, you mean you don't drive it till the wheels fall off anymore?
Well, evidently they still do. And they don't realize the total cost of ownership, this whole TCO thing out there. You know, and I'm going to call out because I wanted him up here, but I can see him right now talking to people he's got to right now. That's Jay Schneider down there from Big Blue Innovations. If you guys don't know Big Blue, I just want to highlight it because it's one of these hard problems is when you tackle like an ERP, when you tackle that integration problem, right? Like, not everybody is of the size that a Yates is. And even a Yates can use that kind of help. A McCarthy can use that outside. So we've got a lot of these service providers, consulting providers that come with years. I mean, Jay's got years of experience in the industry itself. And now they're bringing it to you to augment, right? I think that's something the listeners know from us is like, we're big on augmenting your teams, right? You do and build things for a living. You're great at it. You might be in an area of technology that you're just, you know, it's not your specialty. So get somebody who is a specialist at it, but is willing to train, is willing to teach. And I think that's critical as well. So did I miss anybody? I mean, I can't miss Milwaukee. I love me some Milwaukee out there, guys. I love that big
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. We've got some Chick-fil-A. Hey, you got a fuel, man. You got a fuel. Eat more chicken. You know, there you go. Any final thoughts? Listen, I want to get some final thoughts, you guys. We got to wrap this sucker up. But Alex, give us a few takeaways for people to think about.
Yeah, I'll say something. What I have found amazing is that there is a student population that has come to the ABC. And I have had some amazing conversations with some young people coming into our booth talking about what they know, what they're learning in class, but also their aspirations. And it's amazing how much they are leaning into technology, not just in their personal life, but like they have a strong appetite for wanting to know what's out there. And they're getting some exposure in class, but they want to see it in practice. And so bringing them in and showing them what we're trying to do, it's amazing the different perspective that they have because they're not close to the work like we are. We've got to start tapping into some of these younger minds as they're coming out of school.
Hey. We need to fill that gap, and who better? We got to bring the students in. We got to get them excited. I agree. Yeah. Benjamin, I'm looking for any final thoughts.
So I just, for anybody who's not here this year, coming next year, I can tell you they've got pickleball courts in the back. Right after lunch today, I jumped in, played a game with a guy, got skunked 11-2, but threw in a game of pickleball for fun. And then health safety sent us this here. They have the best swag I've seen in a while. Little first aid kit, just in a little can, taking that home from wife, putting in the car. But just love coming here, seeing all the vendors, and then meeting all the people. Being able to touch base with all of you and everyone else I've ran into here.
I was going to say that's probably the most powerful part, right, is the relationships we create here, how we get better. Rob, any final thoughts?
I get nostalgic on you, man. I came to this event the first time in 2014 as this Rebel safety guy talking about apps. And I met Lauren and we spoke together for the first time. That's when I met Brad and trying to figure out how do we spread this word. That was 10 years ago. To see how far the industry's come, but more importantly, this conference. This conference does not look like it did 10 years ago. Not even close. A lot of growth, a lot of change. And there's more people out there than what looked like at this table right now. That's a good thing.
Yeah, there is. And I would say that's a really good point, Rob, is that the diversity of what we're seeing here of individuals across the board that are represented now and are showing up and are taking their leadership roles or taking their opportunities to enter our industry. And a lot of this technology, a lot of this change, a lot of this innovation around process and the way we do things is making this industry more accessible to more people. And that's just a fantastic side effect of AGC and its investment in innovation and change. And innovation is not just these technology tools. It's the mindset. It's the people. It's the process. It's all of those things. And I'm excited. And I want to thank AGC for letting us be here today. I want to thank Benjamin. I want to thank Alex and my man, Rob, for joining me as another host on the show, because 10 years ago, it was the Contech Trio, and it's the crew, baby. So thanks, Benjamin, and thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our episode with Benjamin Crosby and Alex Belkoffer. To learn more about our news stories, to read more about our guests, visit thecontechcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.